In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Phil Sanderson and Louise Reed, as we talk about how should a leader feel inside. The answer is actually quite broken. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners and newcomers. This is What the Prophets Say. My name is Emma Stark and you join us today live from my... It would be weird if we were dead. Live from... that would be dodgy. I suddenly thought, why do we say live? Live from Glasgow in Scotland. And you are in my home, the end of my house. And I'm joined once again in this special set of episodes by Phil Sanderson and Louise Reed. How are you, Phil? How are you, Louise?
Well, I'm doing grand. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm doing wonderfully. Enjoying this. It's great to be with the Irish having a bit of a banter together.
The crack is mighty.
The crack is mighty.
And I think we've had to explain this before, but
for about the crack.
For the crack. Yeah. Phil, do you want to explain crack?
Spell it first. C-R-A-I-C.
C-R-A-I-C.
Irish crack.
Irish crack. Yeah. Yeah, just the banter, the fun, the
it's not
like
a
getting
drug.
Together.
It's fun.
It's not a drug.
No. Well, it's a natural drug because we create it ourselves.
No, don't go there.
There's a good deal of hormones involved in Irish crack.
It's almost like we're asking to be misunderstood.
Yes, we are. Okay. Do you know, I have to tell you, my grandchildren who live in the south of England and have very English accents, when I ring them up, when I Zoom them and I say, how are you doing? They always say to me, the crack is mighty. That's how they respond
very
to me.
Very good. You see, my daughter she'd been watching Derry Girls and I mean, she was maybe a bit too young for it. But she comes to me and says, Dad, I've just had this realization that you've been toning down your accent all my life. Yes. And I'm like, well, probably. That means I've never heard how you really sound.
Oh. Well, Derry is quite a long way from Banbridge.
Well, yes, we're a wee bit more country down Banbridge way. Yeah,
give us your full culture.
Oh,
culture is what we call the Northern Irish in the countryside.
Yeah,
I think Louise can do a better impersonation of it than I can.
I don't know about that. You go for it. I'll back you up.
I had an uncle. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Has he? Well, do you know, I mean...
Until you get fright if he phones you tonight.
Yeah, a sudden thought of, you know what? Anyway.
Is this a conversation about whether he's dead or not?
Yes.
Is this a conversation about whether he was saved or not?
This is a conversation about his eternal destination.
Oh, okay. So, but he's definitely dead.
He's definitely dead.
Oh,
but
he had this dog,
and his dog's name was Bullet. But he would never call it Bullet. It was Bollot.
Bollot?
Bollot?
Bollot.
Because that is a culty way of saying Bullet.
Yes,
Bollot.
But he also called you Follop.
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 And Bollot.
Yeah. So.
My brother is Philip, but we call him Follop as well. Follop.
Yeah.
Follop.
Yeah. Growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do us a Coleraine accent, Emma. Because you're now so cultured that you've been out of the country, 40 years. No, not quite.
Flipping heck, I'm not 60.
32 years.
I have been 32 years. It's a bit more lilting like that there. It's got a bit more like of that.
It's more lyrical.
And it's sort of, Louise is losing the plot.
I feel terribly cultured, I have
you
to say. In your
cultured.
Midst. South County Dublin. Private education, well cultured.
In the posh bit of Dublin, Louise Reed.
Not really. Sort of. It's a nice area of Dublin, all right. Yeah.
For us, it's whenever the farmers added a whistle into the midst of it.
I can do that one too.
Yes.
Particularly those who came from Donegal, they speak like that.
My memory of Donegal is hilarious. We will tell you about the word of the Lord, but fireworks, for obvious reasons, were outlawed in Northern Ireland in case we used them to blow each other up. But we seem to find other way of making pipe bombs.
Yes.
And so when we got fireworks and you could buy them in my, when did that come in? Later teenage years.
It would have been after we left.
Was it?
Yeah. Certainly not after 98.
True, that's true. Anyway, we were over for a wee holiday in Donegal, and we'd no idea how to use a firework. And so my father lined them all up along the cottage we had rented and just let them off up the side of the cottage. Well, it was a thatched roof. So we were raining fire down on the thatched roof. No idea what we were up to. Like,
So we learned to make our own fireworks.
Oh dear.
And they were only small ones. They were little bangers. And we decided that my little sister, she had just got this Cindy house. So not a Barbie, cut price Barbie, a Cindy. This Cindy house. Uh-huh. And we decided that the Action Men were going to do a raid on the Cindy house.
Oh my days.
So we had hooked up all these homemade bangers to my little sister's cardboard Cindy house. They ended up setting the thing on fire.
And sacrificing the Cindys.
Well, sacrificing the Cindys. And she had cut all their hair anyway, so they're all distraught looking thing.
Was it Halloween?
Yes. Big scorch mark on the carpet. Like, whenever my parents came back from their midweek Bible study group, it's just this.
I don't understand about you Nordies saying that you had no fireworks. We had no fireworks in the South, but we used to go north to buy them. We must have been buying them on the black market.
North.
I
knew you were dodgy, Louise Reed.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Tell me this.
Outlet.
What were your ingredients in your bangers?
Oh, do you know those little cap guns, the little paper caps? Oh,
I used to love the smell of them.
So you could if you fold them up and put a pin through them and sellotape them all up and add them to match. I feel like I am giving very ungodly advice on this, how to make.
But it's very sweet. Though.
Let's prophesy. You got to love the Irish, north and south of the border, and our rapscallion ways.
Yeah, rapscallion ways. Yes.
Indeed.
Moving on.
We are one.
Well, we will be. Anyway,
in our rapscallionness.
Okay, that's a political. That's here a, sort is of a prophetic
sign. We're here
on
is
United,
a sign and a wonder. Come
it's
on,
the United Ireland. Okay, moving on. Okay, so we want to talk about the nature of leadership. This is right for you. There are mantles of leadership. You better be saying, "I need that right now. I need to bear and hold and wear and dress myself in a leadership mantle. I was made to lead." And right now, there is a sense of a kingdom definition, a definition by way of the cross that God is giving so that you can understand the internal dynamics and emotions of what you think and how you feel. I'm not interested in coaching you about how you prance around a platform. I am not interested in the sense of here are microphone techniques. Come on, no. I am interested in the conversation about what your insides feel like today when you are wearing a leadership mantle. And it is perhaps not what you thought, because God leads and he is looking for those in his image who will also lead, who will think as he thinks, who will value what he values, who will understand the rhythms and the movements and the expressions of his heart. And we are now happy to say that we have had epochs of leadership done appallingly, where there was great platform persona, there was great dynamism, there was great things set in motion, but there wasn't the internal understanding of the emotions and the values and the internal culture of leadership. So the external culture of leadership was ugly. And we have led, or the people of God have been led, into a whole load of institutional dogma that is a disaster. We have had sexual sin covered up. We have had the sense of beginning well and ending badly. We have had leadership go dastardly wrongly, if we can put it like that, horrifically wrongly, to the point where people are saying, who do I trust? But there is an internal world that leaders have that we now need to talk about so that you can go, phew, this is normal, or, oh, I need to get in sync or in step with this. This real practical conversation on the internal value and culture of leadership in this hour, right? The ball that the scene is set, the ball is kicked to your feet. Who is picking this up?
Well, there's going to be so many different things. So let me go for a few that are dear to my heart, first of all. And then maybe Phil can put a theological framework on it. But I think he can try. I think we have been through so much in this new epoch of time. Leadership that lasts is going to, and leadership that we will follow is going to be Christ-like. There's going to be such a level of death to self and being transformed into the likeness of him that it will look and taste different, because there will be a vulnerability, there will be a power, there will be a holiness and a godliness. And we're not talking about perfect people here, but we're talking about people who are in the pursuit of God in a way that we haven't seen before.
So you're, number one, your insides feel hungry.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And for that, Jesus.
Yes, and that hunger is what overrides, that is what helps to override the quote rules that there has been before. It also overrides the fear of man, because the fear of God will be so present within that hunger. And that's a great word to use, Emma. It's going to feel and look different. You're going to feel both safe and unsafe around somebody, a leader like this. Safe because you know they're carrying something of the pursuit of God and a very different mantle, but unsafe in that you know there is a great revealing, there is exposure of all things. So in a sense, your sin is never going to be to be safe, but you are safe because there's somebody that you can follow and you can work with. There's going to be so many different looks to this. Spirit-filled and spirit-led, absolutely must be in such a whole sense. In the way that Jesus just led by being among the people. Now, he knew how to pull away and be with the Father just by himself. He absolutely had that as a structure of life. But he knew how to hang out and just do extraordinary, vulnerable things with his disciples and with amongst the people. And that's what we're going to see in leadership. And we're going to see leaders who are not looking for anything for themselves, because there's so much in the pursuit of God and his kingdom that that is the overriding thing. They're not going to have a care for their own, quote, success, because that's not what it's about. It's about the advancement of the kingdom. So they're just, that's my starter for 10.
Your starter for 10.
My starter for 10.
So Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this earth.
Yeah.
Right? But yet we spend our time going on courses to learn how to lead the way that the world leads.
Business type coaching stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know what? If that works and that's great.
It has a place.
It does. But if you can do it all and not require Holy Spirit in the midst of it,
it's problematic.
That's a problem. Exactly. Now, whenever we're talking about leadership, we're talking about rulership. And, you know, a scripture that I think every person should know because it's so significant in the New Testament. We've talked about it over the years, Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Stretch forth your scepter from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies.
Yeah.
That word rule, we have so misunderstood what that means, because we think it means lording over people. And so we think that leadership then becomes about ruling over people and lording it over people. You see that same word in Genesis 1:28, where God says, take dominion, right? The whole concept of dominion and the whole concept of rulership are all linked together.
Yeah.
What did that look like for Adam? It looked like gardening.
Yes.
It looked like nurturing. It looked like developing. It looked like sowing. It looked like reaping. It looked like watering and tending, weeding.
It looked like
I am going to nurture you to a place of fruitfulness. Right? Let's go forward to Revelation 5. You have in Revelation 4, you've got this divine council scene. All of creation, they're saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty, receive all dominion and power and authority, because you created all things and by your will they were created. And then you have in the middle, you know, weep no more, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. And then they're singing a new song. And the new song is, worthy are you to receive all power and dominion and might, because through your blood you purchased a people from God, from every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue. And you have made them to be a kingdom of priests, and they shall rule on the earth. Okay. And what we do is we take that scripture and we put it away into the future. And we think that that rulership has to do about some future time. Whenever I think a lot of theologians now are saying Revelation 5 is not a future text. It's speaking of the ascension. It's speaking of Christ coming after his death, resurrection, mm-hmm. conquest over the powers of hell, and ascension. And he's being presented mm-hmm. before the throne. This is his enthronement scene, which means it's a live scripture now that the kingdom is being given to mm-hmm. the saints and they're to rule on the mm-hmm. earth. So how do we rule on the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Like gardeners. How do we rule on the earth and lead people? By nurturing them and seeing them grow and mm-hmm. seeing them development. So God's rulership is always mm-hmm. to bring forth fruitfulness.
Yeah.
But that requires a journey for us through the cross. So I look at my own heart, and as I mm-hmm. spend time with the Lord, I've always been in this place where it's like I've had this internal walled garden mm-hmm. that I meet with Jesus in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in that place every day, it's what are the weeds that need pulled up? Yep. What are the things that need submitted to the cross? Mm-hmm. Where are we seeing life come forth? Where am I meeting with the Lord in?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the greatest concerns that our listeners and viewers will have as almost the dominoes of fallen leadership is lying around us. And we're looking at something that's fallen largely. There's questions about, was there no fear of the Lord?
Mm.
Which was massively asked, but I would want to push that into how did the deception become part of the internal world of the leader? There was an internal deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the level, I mean, and I'm just going to really, because there's no point if I'm not honest about what's actually going on around about us. We have leaders that we know have fallen. And it's in the public domain, be it paedophilia, a clergy sexual abuse, be it money laundering. And we already know we have a whole set of leaders that are just about to be exposed, similar sin situations. And I think the shock is continually what was going on the inside
yeah.
that led to that outward behavior where they actually were living with an internal sort of deception, where they didn't click into, I can't live like this, or I'm going to be exposed, or I need to take another kind of job. It was a sense of, I can do this and get away with it, a deceptive place within the heart. Now you're in the scriptures that says the heart is deceitful above all else. But in all of that, that seems to some of us mind-blowing. That you could live like that, that you could live internally that deceived. Now, we follow somebody in social media who's a significant leader within the prophetic movement. And last week, they posted 14 false news articles in 1 week. The lack of an internal critical thinking, that the deception about who they are is so great,
mm-hmm.
they can't even assess a news article to go, this one isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's perhaps the least serious end of it, because you're just reposting fake news and its level of destruction is not the same as sexual abuse level of destruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it is, and we're taking screen grabs of all of this, and David and I as a husband and wife team, and not in a sense of a judgment, but in a wringing of our hands.
And a concern.
And a concern mm-hmm. that there you go again, mm-hmm. giving us fake news
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to the point where you're posting, this is some time ago, Captain Jack Sparrow's boat from Pirates of the Caribbean as a news article of a ship that you think has come ashore during a storm, not realizing you're reposting a Disney story as a news article. I mean, it's that level of failed critical thinking, but it's not having the ability to discern. And then at the same time, I'm watching a family being interviewed, a husband and wife team, by a spiritual leader covering moral failure by saying, you weren't morally where you wanted to be at that time. Now, if you're having adulterous relationships and you broadcast that as, oh, it's okay, I just wasn't morally where I wanted to be at that particular pivot point in my life, there is a deceptive spirit all around that makes leadership untrustworthy. And I do want us to comment on that, because I actually think that the inner world of the leader must look like continual internal death. Mm-hmm. In other words, to keep away from I am deceived and then I dress my sin up as I wasn't morally where I wanted to be, or I post Captain Jack Sparrow's ship as news when it's Disney nonsense. I do think that the leader feels more broken day to day than they would ideally like to. Mm-hmm. That their presentation on the platform, and I know I do it, I can feel so bereft internally and chastened by God and brokenness in processes of healing, and I don't feel like I've got it all together. And then I take a microphone and I'm bringing a word to the Lord. And sometimes I feel like, or have felt, that the public persona of, and the Spirit of the Lord says, doesn't always match the fact that I've taken that microphone feeling broken. And I'm okay with that over time, because I actually think that's where it should be. And people, I do think, feel that the leader internally feels like they've got it all together. Mm. I think if the leader internally feels like they've got it all together, that is a disqualification.
Straight away.
Straight yeah. away. And I'm watching these people, and I actually think they are so deceived internally that they do feel that they are the man or woman of God, because they actually waltz around demanding an honor that I don't think any leader should be demanding. And so the point I'm making is, I think to feel internally broken is actually the right internal place, or to feel bereft, to feel deficient, to feel that you are needing purification, to feel the, because we're talking about the internal world, I'm less concerned about what you're doing on the platform, actually is quite okay yeah. as your normal, I don't feel ready, I don't feel prayed up enough, I feel like I'm wrestling this internal, whatever it happens to be, is actually the right definition mm-hmm. of a new breed of leader.
Do you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that, oh gosh, I think in the internal world, you know, most of the time I just kind of feel, look, Jesus, I'm in a mess here. I need you, because if yes. I don't have you, I'm, you know, let's go through the checklist of the seven deadly sins. My yes. gosh. Pride, lust, sloth, all of them. Let's just tick all the boxes. They're all there.
Yes.
And they're all the old man, but they all need to go to the cross. They all need to be crucified. Yeah. And that's the internal life of death, but also resurrection into Christ and knowing Christ. So, mm-hmm. you know, the who you are on the platform, I mean, that's not real. Right,
it's not real, and actually, there's platform capabilities that are very genuinely, authentically good leadership.
Yeah,
but they sit best on a broken foundation.
I would say they sit best on recognizing that there is no foundation but Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean absolutely. The internal emotional status is often. Jesus help.
I mean, we're back.
All the time, Jesus
we're
help.
We're back, yeah. exactly. Mm. We're back to the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
What is the greatest fear in our lives? It has to be the fear
Rather
of the Lord.
Rather than fear of being found out.
I mean, what, yeah. exactly. What we have seen is, I think, probably narcissistic traits in leaders that have just got out of control. And we have allowed, the other side of it is, it's what we've tolerated. And what we have allowed and what we have sat under, rather than what we have actually whistleblown on, or what we, when we've gone to leaders and said, this isn't okay, and we've gone through a process or whatever. So there's two sides to this. But I loved what Phil said there about the walled garden, the interior castle, whatever way you want to put it, of that is the place, that is the honest place. If anybody, look, in this day and age, do people want to pursue leadership? I am always a little bit careful about people who are ambitious for leadership. I love when people are ambitious for the kingdom, mm-hmm. but when they're ambitious for leadership, I always have a question mark about that because I wonder, is it all about their own personal ambition?
Yeah.
Because we all know we've had personal ambitions and, mm-hmm. and we know that actually they need to be crucified along with everything, mm-hmm. everything else. But this understanding of the walled garden where there is this sacred place mm. of constant nourishment in a hidden place with the Lord, where your true self mm. and who you are is developed, is honed. That's what I want to be looking for. And I want to hear from people a level of something of what that inner life is like. I at least need mm. to know what that it's there and what it looks like and what the signs of it are. I mean, obviously the full details of it is one's own business before the Lord. Mm. But the other thing is, even Jesus took his disciples along to pray with him at times. He yeah. wasn't always by himself. There's got to be a transparency mm. of I have this inner world, mm. this walled garden with the Lord, and I'm going to teach you. Let's be like that together. Mm. So another thing about leadership is transparency.
Yeah.
So where there is transparency, where we're not afraid to be real and to be honest about ourselves, now there's a place that God can put weight. There's a place that he can land his glory on, because nobody is going to be in a position to take that glory, because we know it's not of ourselves, it's of yeah. him.
And it's, yeah. it's this sense of self-awareness.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so your husband, Nigel, and I, we have the same Bible study program.
You do.
We do. I know, it's great. We love to connect on it. It's very good. But it was done by a guy called Robert Murray McShane, who was a pastor in Dundee, mm-hmm. died in, 1842, whenever he was like 28 years old or something.
Oh, really? I didn't know. There that. Actually is an app
yeah.
That you can download if you want to keep at the same pace as
Phil and Nigel. If you want to read with Phil and Nigel.
Read with Phil and Nigel. But what he said was, hitting the microphone. What he said was, what a man is on his knees before God,
yeah.
that he is and nothing else. And there's this sense of who I am, the real me, is exposed and seen as I stand before a God, knowing that I can only be there mm-hmm. because he shed his blood for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because of his grace and his mercy. That's why I stand there. If I get away from that, mm-hmm. then I start to become entitled. Mm-hmm. I start to become proud. And you know, the terrifying scripture for me is that God opposes the proud, but he gives yeah. grace to the humble. Yeah. It doesn't say he opposes pride.
It's the proud.
It's the proud.
I know.
It's the people who are pride,
yeah.
prideful, yeah. That he opposes. I don't want God opposing me.
Know.
You know, and if judgment begins in the house of the Lord, that means I'm first in line here, you know. Mm-hmm. I need to be recognizing who I am and recognizing my messes, knowing where the weeds are, but also recognizing that it's
yes.
Jesus who heals and saves and delivers and sets free and redeems.
I'm going to ask you a feeling question. How does that feel on the inside? I know not everybody likes to answer a feeling question, because I really want to push for our listeners and viewers that it doesn't always feel easy.
No.
And I think there's a sense that we look at each other and think, well, they don't understand what it's like to stand in my shoes because they've got it all together. Because leadership can very often look like that. And I think there is a place where you do have to look like that on occasions, particularly if you're standing doing a funeral or you're standing in the midst of somebody else's pain. That is not a place of mutual sharing. That is a place where you're weight bearing for the sheep.
Yes.
And so what you look like on the outside is often not what you're doing on the inside. And that is not duplicitous. It's not deceitful.
No, it's wisdom.
So it's wisdom. And so tell me what it feels like.
So I think that what it feels like,
mm-hmm.
it feels vulnerable. It feels mm-hmm. like, I think a lot of the time real leaders have imposter syndrome because yeah. they're like, you know, I'm not like that person over there. I, you know, mm-hmm. you talked about getting dressed for leadership. The way the world gets dressed for leadership, it's the power suit, it's the power tie, right?
Yes.
Yes. Whenever you see leadership the way that Jesus does it, it's the washing the feet. It's the stripping off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of our guys was preaching on Sunday. I was there, you know, just wanting to kind of encourage and raise up guys to lead. And he was making the point in washing the disciples' feet. Jesus takes off his outer garment and wraps a towel around his waist. Could it be that the only thing that Jesus is actually wearing there is the towel that he's washing the disciples' feet with?
Yeah, yeah.
In which case, he is making himself unbelievably vulnerable towards and unbelievably transparent towards them as well. He's not there with his power suit. He's not there with his power tie. He's there naked before the people that are his disciples, but he's serving them. And that's kingdom leadership, right?
So internally, it feels vulnerable.
Naked. Like you don't really know what you're doing, because it's not about you. You are being reliant on him. And I think that there's a certain fear of God factor in that. I fear doing it my own way, because I know that's not going to work. So therefore, I have to choose the fear of the Lord. And this comes into every area. I know for myself, at the moment, I'm almost challenging myself, because I know the Spirit of God is challenging me in situations where I've always followed a kind of pattern because it works. And the Lord challenging me and saying, if you want more, you've got to have more fullness of me, letting go of the methodology and the structure, even of good things, a good structure, a good methodology, to go on the, okay, I'm going to, as we say, fly by the seat of my pants here. What is the Spirit of God saying? And doing something, going with him and seeing what happens. That's risky. It takes faith. It's vulnerable. But my goodness, the fruit is so much sweeter.
I do think that I would want to cast shade on a misappropriation of books written about honour.
Okay.
I think actually probably integrously done. But the fact that honour me, I am your senior. Honour me, I am the elder. Honour me, I'm, you know, this, that and the other. And I am nauseated by the creating of awards for church leaders.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yes. In
some countries.
In what world do you gather, where you've read the Bible, do you gather leaders together and give them glass engraved plaques and plates and trophies to award them for their greatness?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a thing.
But, but look at Phil South, because this is what I watch with some of my connections.
Yes. And then what about those who don't get the awards, who are just as glorious and just as wonderful, but don't quite have the temperament that fits those awards?
It's absolutely the opposite to what we see the 24 elders do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, it's putting on crimes.
With the 24 elders, can I just say, I had a bit of a revelation with this, actually a bit of a rebuke from the Lord with this.
Yeah.
So in the Bible reading thing that we do, it's Old Testament once, New Testament twice, Psalms twice within a year. And so every year I'm reading Revelation twice, and I get to that bit with the 24 elders, and I ask the Lord, and you know the way you do whenever you're reading scripture, you're asking questions. I said to him, Lord, who are the 24 elders? And he said to me, as clear as a bell, don't worry about it, Phil, you won't know them anyway. You know, this sense of actually they're not the big names. It's going to be some wee guy who's living in the foothills of northern China, who has sacrificed his entire life for the gospel,
And lives with that model of casting down a crime.
Well, exactly. And I think that, I mean, so my eldest girl, she's graduating from high school this year. And so she's got a couple of awards. So we were in the local trophy shop the other day getting her name engraved on these awards.
Yeah.
And I did think to myself, I could just buy myself an award. I could just buy myself a trophy.
Yes.
Just for a laugh, you know, just to have it on the shelf. There
what
you go.
What would you trophy yourself as?
I don't know. I would do something.
We can
something.
Find something.
We'll do something. We'll do something now, just to make me feel good about myself.
It's the fact that, Louise, we just banally clap like the ill-led, the deceived-led, and then we parade our leaders on the platform and then the leaders have their feet washed. And I just kind of think, why didn't we not wake up to the fact that that's not in scripture? Leaders wash feet. It's actually opposite land, people. My children often have opposite land days where they just don't want to walk on the floor, but walk on the furniture. You know, opposite land, it's opposite land. And in all of that, the heart of the leader then is look, you got to fight as a leader to keep your heart right. You don't want things that come into your world that mislead your heart. And I actually think awards for leaders and foot washing of leaders are really unhelpful things that take the leader into a place where they've got to doubly wrestle with themselves to come to that place of internal brokenness and vulnerability.
I think appreciation and recognition is a very healthy thing.
Yes.
But I think this award-based system is very unhelpful. Can I just say, like, we're three Irish sitting here. We are the self-deprecating Irish. The idea of being given an award, I guarantee any award any of us ever got, when we got home, one of our parents probably said, "Now, don't you get too big for your boots."
Oh, yes.
Or something like that.
I got third in an egg and spoon race and got a wee certificate. And that was, you know, you're not the best at the egg and spoon race.
It just makes me think of that Father Ted episode, you know, with the golden cleric.
He's given us Derry Girls and now we're getting Father Ted.
Tell us your Father Ted.
Father, forgive us.
Oh, was it the Christmas special where he wins the golden cleric award and he just gets so filled with himself. And
the golden cleric.
The golden cleric, that's right. I mean, it's basically what the Dove Awards is for worship clergy. Leaders, yeah. Only for clergy.
Dove Awards for clergy.
The whole thing is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Uh-huh. And but it's a funny.
I
funny
have
watch.
Heard of alternative awards for church leaders. You know, like the most imaginative use of a microphone, and you know things like that, which is funny. And yes. Actually is
we certainly need to play that game.
Exactly. But this is the other thing. Do you know what? Leaders need to be able to laugh at themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, my husband's always saying this to me, Louise, just laugh at yourself. Because I am a bit principled and I can get a little bit, you know, sort of uptight. He's like, Louise, you need to laugh at yourself. Leaders, follow a leader who can laugh at themselves.
Well, this is a basic principle, right? Take the word of God seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, then we're on safe territory.
Well, we sort of went to the Dove Awards there by accident.
Phil, you're leading us astray.
I apologize.
Phil?
But here's the thing though, right? If you get your acclaim here on earth, then you're sacrificing it in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, at the end of this episode, my friends, it is a sense of God saying, come on, put on leadership. Come on, start to lead my people. Come on, dress yourselves in the leadership that I value as your king. And the leadership that the king values is a leadership where your heart feels broken. You understand your dust. You're completely aware of your vulnerability. You are naked before the Lord. You are humble in your service. And that sense of the internal world of the leadership feeling very often in a place of flux of, God, if you don't turn up, I can't do this. And God is desiring leaders right now in the earth with a sort of internal sense of, I need to die, that you might be seen as lifted and elevated. So we bless you into that kind of leadership. We bless you to discern that sort of leadership in others, that you don't inadvertently follow those who are ego or pride filled. And so as we come to an end of this episode of What the Prophets Say, we thank you for your time and your ears, and we bless you until we meet again. Take care. Goodbye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.